Our Father,
we greet you for this morning. We ask that you fill our hearts with revelation, with insight. Help us to, in true acknowledgement, hold that which you planted in our lives, even relationships, to which you fulfill your plans and purposes. You help us to esteem, to nurture, to walk in them much more effectively. We ask that this morning, there's revelation in every heart. Walk of your spirit is done in every heart this morning. We ask that opinions, perceptions, thoughts, nuances, belief systems, even experiences are in submission to your word this morning. We ask that you fill every heart here with your light, with your wisdom, to the end that we see our words do things, we do them, nourished up the words of faith as a church, but built up together to function in your plans and purposes. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ and hold your saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Amen. So we're looking again, we'll continue on our subject on relationships. Hallelujah. Relationships, you know, as it pertains to God's plan. Amen. How to see it. Relationships, how to see it. Glory to God forevermore. Started our study, I used my body up a whole lot in the last 1 or 2 weeks, so pardon me if I have to cough a couple of times. Hallelujah. So we have been taking a look at the subject or the concept of, you know, relationships, how to see it. Amen. We said there is a way to see it. Glory to God. You see, Christianity is not meant to be practiced just the way you feel. Hallelujah. You know, and that's the very reason why you have a Bible. The very fact that God gave us the gifts of the written form of His Word. You know, we have the written form of God's Word. Hallelujah. I'm speaking the word that I have spoken from, you know. Yeah. But there's a written form of His Word which, you know, has come to you and I. We call it the Bible. So the very fact that we have the written form of God's Word means you are not meant to do it as you seem fit, or as it seems fit, or as you deem fit. Hallelujah. There is a way to do things in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, just like you don't just get saved anyway. The Bible talks about how people get saved. People have to be preached to. You have to preach to people to get them saved. You have to preach. You don't just say anything to them. You have to preach the message. You know, the Bible calls it the message of faith or the gospel of salvation. You have to preach the message of faith or the gospel of salvation. And having preached, people have to believe. And when they believe, the Bible says they are saved. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15. He's going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Hallelujah. Romans 10:8-10. Says the word is near thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. That if a man, you know, shall believe in his heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and shall confess with his mouth, have it together, it is he shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So people believe by hearing the gospel. Verse 17 of Romans 10, it says, so then faith comes, hallelujah, by hearing the word of God. Same Romans 1:15, it says, I'm not ashamed as much as in me. It says, to preach the gospel unto you also that are in Rome. Verse 16, it says, for the gospel, it says, is the power of God unto salvation through faith to everyone who believes. Then it says, to the Jew and also to the Greek. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. So people have to hear the gospel to believe. Hallelujah. And having had the gospel, you don't just, you know, live life anyhow. The word of God also has to be taught to you. And that's why Jesus, in the Matthew text, which has also been one of our opening texts, you want to open to Matthew quickly, Matthew 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Excuse me. In Matthew 28, now I hope everyone is with their Bibles and what? Their Bibles and what? Writing materials. If you are not with your Bible, you are wrong. If you don't use it, you are equally wrong. Amen. So you show up with your Bibles and you use your Bibles. Amen. You also endeavor to write. Put things down. Is it clear? Put things down. Praise God. Matthew's Gospel 28. And then in verse 18. And Jesus came. In fact, I want us all to read together verse 18 to 20. Everybody. Matthew's Gospel. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not yet there, say, oh me. Wait for the oh me. I hope the oh me is now amen. Because we can't wait any longer. Did we wait at all? Verse 18, everyone, want to go? And Jesus came to speak unto them. Can we read together? I want to go. Matthew 28, verse 18. Are we all there? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and verse 18. One, two, go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope you read the amen. So we didn't have the amen. It was there in your Bible, right? Okay, thank you. So look at that. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, I don't know if anyone here, your translation says, make disciples of all nations. Anyone like that? Oh, that's very powerful. That's perfect. Who else? Perfect. Who else? Good stuff. So you know, when it says, teach all nations, the originals actually says, make disciples. Are we together? Make disciples. You know, if you just read teach all nations, it looks like touch and go, touch and go. But that's not what the writer is saying. The writer is actually saying to have a formalized structure where people are helped to develop in the faith. So it's not a touch and go kind of activity. Like I preach to somebody and I teach him God's word, then I say, do you believe? He says, yeah, I believe. All right, get a copy of the Bible, find any church around you, I'll meet you in heaven. No. Are we together? And that's what we call evangelism. Evangelism is meant to initiate a discipleship process. Are we together? So there's no touch and go. We don't do bond throwaway in God's kingdom. Are we together? Are we together? The instruction is to make disciples. That means you help people to believe the gospel, and having believed the gospel, you take responsibility for their growth in the Lord. That's it. So I go to people in a bid to help them to walk in God's plans for their lives, and the first time I make them is what evangelism achieves. So when I go out, let's say, like in church, we go out every Saturday on outreach. We also go out on outreach during the week. We go on evangelism. Evangelism is that for the first time, you start a conversation about Jesus with the fellow, which will then continue even after the fellow has believed. Are we together? It's never a one-time activity. It is discipleship. Discipleship. The work is discipleship. So discipleship only commences at the point of evangelism. That's why the moment someone has believed the gospel, that means he has had a positive response to what you said about Jesus, the next thing to do is to bring the fellow into the family of God. What we call the local church or the local assembly. The church, the local assembly. So the fellow, the brother or the sister is now in the church. The person is now being instructed. The person is being taught. The person is being taught, is being instructed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says to go make disciples of all nations. All nations means different races, different tongues, different tribes. Hallelujah. Like this morning, I'm sure there are diverse tribes here, isn't it? Isn't it? Alright, we will have non-Nigerians here this morning. Amen? Amen? So, it tells you, you know, it calls across cultures and places, geographies. So, you know, all nations includes all genders. Well, it's male and female, right? Right? It has to be male and female, isn't it? Isn't it? Alright? So, different genders, that's what all nations mean. Different, you know, different, look at this. Different career backgrounds, that's what all nations mean also. All nations. People with different, you know, diverse career backgrounds. People with different languages. Well, maybe people with different skin colors. Hallelujah. Something like that. So, all nations. He says, you will disciple them. Then he calls discipling them, baptizing them. The baptizing them, obviously, here was not referring to water. He wasn't talking about you dipping people inside water. Jam. Are we together? No. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost there has to do with people being immersed in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Because the word baptism itself has nothing to do with water. Even though people can baptize using water. Are we together? Are we together? But baptism itself has nothing to do with water. The word baptism, from the Greek word baptizo, it means to identify with something. To identify with. For example, if you probably because of your career or your studentship or you know whatever your course of study is, you are probably being brought into a body. Let's say you're into pharmacy or maybe physiotherapy or maybe even engineering or law. You know, after a while, they bring you into the body of the association. You call it induction. You see, that induction, you know, is a form of baptism. Are we together? They brought you into something, to immerse you into something, and then the result of that is that you now begin to identify with that thing. That means that entire body or organization is now identifying with you. You know, because maybe you have fulfilled their requirements. You've gone through school for about 4 or 5 years. You've written all the exams and you passed the exams. They ask you to make some payments. Then you made the payments. And after a while, they say, all right, we've inducted you into the medical profession. So you now have a license, something like that. That is the organization now identifying with you. So that's what baptism, the concept of baptism is like. It means to be identified with something or with someone or for something to be identified with you, to be immersed into something, to be brought into a detailed association with something. So when Jesus uses that word, you know, it wasn't talking about water. Even though water can be used as a sign of it, like John the Baptist did. Hallelujah. But baptism, when you hear baptism, don't think about water immediately. Are we together? Even though water can be used, amen, to baptize people. Glory to God forevermore. So look at that. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then Trinity explains what that baptism is. It says, teaching them. Teaching them. So, you see, he uses teaching twice. That's the importance of teaching. It says, teaching them to observe all things. Someone say, all. Someone say, all. All things I've commanded you. All. So, that means, look at this. If a local church, or if it's a pastor, you know, that will carry this out, they cannot, or he cannot endeavor to be a specialist. It says, all. So there's nothing like, oh, this is my own message. God has not called me to preach that message. No, if it's in the Bible, you have to preach it. It is all. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. If you're a pastor, if you're a shepherd, or if you're a teacher of God's word, or a student of God's word, or someone that is growing in the Lord, taking up the responsibility of helping other people grow, you have to be knowledgeable in all. Now, you can't be knowledgeable in all at once, so there's a room for growing, both for the new one and the teacher. Did you get it? Did you keep growing? So, he says, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, all. Then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, we took on this text a couple of weeks ago. We've been speaking from it. And I said, therefore, that the goal of discipleship, first of all, we see, discipleship is God's plan for you. If you are not sure what He wants you to do, part time, You travel from a location to another, you are not sure what he wants you to do there. You are not sure what to do. You are at the point of your life, okay, maybe you just finished your university studies. Are we together? Are we together? You just finished your university studies and you're wondering, what next? What next? You know, you're wondering, what next? They say, someone say, oh, you go serve. You know, you expect that to be your NYSC, something like that. You see, whatever state you are, there's a constant instruction given us by the Spirit of God. The instruction to get engaged with discipleship, either the giving or the receiving of it. Are we together? You are expected to be involved in discipleship. A new state, a new location, a new stage of your life. Are we together? Not wedded, have been wedded, newly wedded. There is a constant instruction. New job, no job, looking for a job. There is a constant instruction. There is an instruction that permeates all stages of your life while other things are happening alongside. Are we together? Are we together? There is something that is consistent throughout your life. It's a life goal. It's a life mission. It's a life plan. Get involved in discipleship. So someone asks you, someone say, what are you doing now? Well, I've got plans, but while I'm waiting for my plans to, you know, come into fruition, I'm involved in discipleship. I'm discipling others. I'm being discipled. Are we together? Are we together? Wherever you find yourself. I remember some years ago, you know, I finished my BS, and then I had to go serve somewhere in the East. And then I got there, it's no different. I got involved in discipleship. After my NYC, are we together? Got involved in discipleship. Over 10 years now. Got involved in discipleship. Anywhere. Anywhere you find yourself, there is God's constant instruction. Get involved in discipleship. Get involved in helping people to know the Lord and those who have known the Lord to grow in His knowledge. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. So we said that discipleship involves communicating perspectives. Perspectives. Whose perspectives? God's perspective. That's discipleship. In discipleship, we communicate God's perspectives. Notice I didn't say godly perspectives. Definitely to be godly perspective, but I said God's own perspectives. God's way of living. God's way of seeing things. So we said, there is therefore, in living, there is a way to see things. You know, many times, you find people, you know, live life based on different inspirations. There are different things that inspires how we live. Some people, what inspires how they live is their experiences. The experiences they've had in times past begins to dictate, you know, the choices they make today. For some other people, they live life under pressure. Pressure. Now, there are different kinds of pressures. Now, you find people live under peer pressure. The only reason why you are doing this, you know, is because some other people are doing it and you don't want to be left behind. That's not so proper. Are we here? We don't do things because others are doing them. Christians, we do things because that is God's plan. That is God's plan. You've got to be able to say, this is God's plan. Are we together? Are we together? This is God's plan. You can be found, you know, living out of a peer pressure. The only reason you dress the way you dress is because some folks also dress the same way and you don't want to be left behind. So you dress the same way. Or you want to live that kind of life because others, maybe others in your family, sometimes close relatives, children of other siblings of your parents. And, you know, sometimes classmates, sometimes your colleague at work. The reason why you won't live in a kind of house is because others are living in that kind of house, and you feel like if they visit you, you want to feel in the class. You want to be in the class. That is peer pressure. We don't live based on that. Are we together? We live and do things in a way because God's word has taught so. Hallelujah. See, I'm open to the word of God. Hallelujah. So God's word communicates God's perspective. It helps you to see things the way God wants you to see them. That is the only way we can fulfill God's plans for our lives. Is it clear? I tell people, don't act under pressure now. I'm not living outside the head. So I know there are pressures everywhere. Is it clear? When you try, you labor, you be diligent to not live under pressure. Leave God's word. So we said when it comes to relationships, there's a way to see it. There's a way to see it. And quickly, from Thursday evening, we said some things, and I'll conclude on that thought, then I'll move forward. So we said, in relating with one another, amen, we have said that God walks through people, right? Right? God walks through relationships, right? God fulfills his plans in our lives through relationships. If you do not know how to handle relationships and associations, you are going to frustrate God's plan for your life. I told you severally, you can ruin God's plan for your life if you're careless. Amen. There's this popular saying, whatsoever will be what? Will be. That is a lie. If whatsoever will be, why do you take drugs? Are we together? Amen. Why do you take drugs? Like someone we had ministered to some maybe 6-7 years ago, at the end of the meeting, that got a woman on a wheelchair. She got healed. She was lame, then she walked. But before she walked, she had all sort of beliefs in her mind. I was with a friend of mine, you know. And then we had wanted to pray with her, and then she said, no, that, you know. So instead of listening and receiving the prayer, she started mentioning the different men of God that prayed for her. And truly, if we had allowed that, you know, in her heart, would have been dissuaded, because you hear the names. And I said that. Some people feel that because a more powerful, a prominent man of God had prayed for you, then, you know, someone who is less prominent cannot get you healed. It's not true. Are we together? It's not true. Someone who is very prominent can pray for you, and for one reason or the other, you didn't get healed at that moment. Somebody you just got saved yesterday can pray for you and you get healed. Are we together? So we're going to pray for the woman, and then the woman mentioned, this man of God had prayed for me. I said, well, is any of them here now? Obviously, you are still on the chair. Can we go ahead and pray? And she said, oh, that she feels that the condition is God's will for her. She literally told me. She said, well, since I've been on this wheelchair, I've been able to have my devotions daily. That's what she said. Yeah, she felt that because she was confined to a spot, she was now able to do, you know, religious activities that maybe she'd have been distracted from doing if she was, you know, agile and here and there. And then, well, it doesn't matter. She said, since we have been on this chair, I've loved God more. I've been drawn closer more to the Lord. So she actually believed that being on that chair was God's plan. And I remember a friend of mine asked a question. He says, if being on this wheelchair was having God, was God's plan, when last did you go for medical checkup? She mentioned. When last were you given drugs to take? She mentioned. So why then are you taking drugs? To come out of God's plan?
Do you get it? If you say sickness is God's plan, don't say God is trying to teach me a lesson by giving me this ulcer. Why then are you using drugs to unlearn God's lessons? And if God is able, if God is able to teach you a whole lot, if God is able to get you to walk in His plan by putting that thing in your body, because you think God put it there, then when we lay hands on you, we shouldn't be praying that God should remove the ulcer. We should pray that He should have cancer here. Let Him have cancer here. Let Him weaken your heart so that you cough small. When you feel something here, you cough small here. Are we together? Sickness is not God's plans. Don't say, what if God is trying to teach me a lesson? God is not dumb. He doesn't teach His children a lesson using the devil's tools. He doesn't. He's got His own tools. He doesn't teach His children lessons using the enemy's tools. He doesn't. He's smarter than that. God is smarter than that. For some people, I think that would be a revelation that God is smart. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God. So look at that. If you don't see things God's way, you cannot actualize His plan. You cannot. He can't get you to walk in His plans if He has not gotten you to see His plan. That's the reason why teaching meetings like these are important. Because when you come here, you see it. And it's easier to walk in it. So relationships. God walks through relationships. Who said that? Right? We now said quickly, because I have less than an hour now. We said that if you are in relationship with people or relate together. Now, when I say relationships, don't just think about marital relationships. I'm talking about relationships generally. Okay. Then later on, we can pick on each of them. Is it clear? All right. So look at this. In our relating with one another, as we relate with one another, we said one of the vital things we must note is that offenses will arise. Offenses arise not necessarily because the people you are relating with deliberately get you offended. Mm-hmm. It is bound to happen as you relate. So we said that you must learn to have a war plan. And a war plan is you determining what you will do when offenses arise in your relationships. Is it clear? You must determine what you are going to do. To what length you will not go. What things you will not say. Because I told you that what will ruin relationships eventually. Is it clear? What will ruin relationships eventually is how you responded to what was done. How you responded. I gave you illustrations. There's sometimes someone might have done something that is wrong. I mean, this is wrong. You shouldn't have done this, or shouldn't have said this, or you shouldn't have done this. That is wrong. But oftentimes, what terribly impacts your relationship with people is not even what the person did, but how you handled what was done. Your reaction. So, you see, Jesus, in Matthew 20, He says, if your brother has an ought against you, He says to do what? He says to go to him, isn't it? He says, go to him. And then, He said, if he hears you, He says, you have gained your brother. He says, go to him. And if he listens to you, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. That means there's something in my power to restore relationships. It is in my power to restore what? Relationships. Are we together? That shows you something, that part of the believer's authority is the authority to restore relationships. Because Jesus now said in the same breath that whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Look at that text again. We won't get tired reading. Quickly. Matthew's Gospel chapter 20. Everyone. Matthew 20. Just back up 8 chapters before the one you just read. Matthew 20. Quickly. Quickly, weekly. Are we together? Or Matthew 18, rather. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, not 20. Matthew 18. That's 10 chapters behind. Are you there? Okay, so I want us to read verse 15 together. 1, 2, go. I want everyone to read again verse 15. 1, 2, go. Wait. When your brother shall what? Look at me. So, who offended who? Did you offend the fellow or he offended you? Wait, answer that question. Who offended who? You offended the fellow or he offended you? So he started this, right? So they say, but he started it. But he started it. Jesus said, when he started it. Is that a war plan? I told you something during our study. Jesus is a master of relationships. We're going to learn from him. But he started it. But he started it first. But she started it first. But they started it first. Me, I was sitting gently. Are we together? Jesus says, when he started first. Or when she started first. Wait, who goes to who? Does she come to you or you go to? Who goes to who? Who started it first? They started it first, but Jesus says, I go. How? As thou now. As thou. You know that popular guy on Facebook. As thou. Are we together? He started it first. Then Jesus says, I go. Look at this. God wants you to always do the difficult things. Not because it is truly difficult, are we together? But because you have His Spirit. And just like that, did you observe that when we're enemies with God, who came first? God came. God came. Someone say, God came. So I go. So in restoring relationships, what do I do? I must learn to take the first move. We'll get there later on. Maybe not even in this study. Get there later on. I must learn to make what? The first move. The first move. Amen. Amen. Look at what's going to happen. Look at what's going to happen. And this is what happens most times or many times. This fellow, let's say, he offended me. And I went and said, he knows what he did. As he was coming that morning, I saw the way his face was. So when he did it, I knew he was going to do it. Maybe he doesn't know what he did. And then later on, probably he just observes that. Maybe he now says something to me, so I didn't answer. He now said, are you angry? So I didn't answer. He knows what he did. Then he asked me again, are you angry? What's wrong now? Boss, how far? He said, he's even calling me boss. So I don't respond to him. Then look at what he also does. He says, so we'll get time. So he too doesn't respond. So he doesn't reach out. I don't reach out. There's quietness. There's silence. Look at this. In that silence, there's a whole lot that happens. That's how relationships degenerate. I'm going to show us later on, maybe in a different study, how that the first step in building relationships is communication. Let nothing short the communication line. Nothing, even when you're quarreling, communicate. Even when you're quarreling, communicate. They say, no like it. Let me know like it. What is your man saying here? What? Two minutes later, we have to kill our man. Yes, communicate. Because look at this. When you don't communicate, you are actually communicating. You are only not talking to one another. The enemy is talking to you. Notice in the resurrection, who came to who? Did Peter go to Jesus or Jesus went to Peter? Huh? When Jesus showed up and met his disciples, he says, now, a particular sect of disciples were reporting to another. He says, the Lord has risen and we have seen him and he has appeared to Peter also. So Jesus went after Peter, even after Peter denied him. Did you see that? Even after Peter denied him. After Jesus having been raised from the dead, should have just said, three days is not beans. And then just maybe find under a tree and sit down. Or just say, I'm going for a retreat. And then Peter doesn't show up. Then he's like, where is the Buddha? Olori buruku yeda. Olori buruku yeda. Oni rami yeda. Peter. He will not come at me. He will not come at me. You know, I have new power. I've raised from the dead. I have new power. Man bat yeje. No, he doesn't say that. He goes after him. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? He goes after him. Not go after as negative. No, I'll go after you. I'll come after you. No. We gone. No. Are we together? He goes after him to reconcile, to restore. Look at what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 5:19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world unto himself. So God is found in relationships. As I told you, that God is never behind divorce. No! God is never the one behind divorce. I showed you that on Thursday, right? He's not the one. Now, no, in Deuteronomy 24, and then in verse 1, some folks will come and read and say, but Moses said that if a woman does this, I can write a bill of divorce and give to her. So you see divorce in the scripture. And Moses instructed Israel regarding divorce. So someone can come and say, hey, but this is God's words. But look at this, as we're going to see shortly. Jesus said, even though God permitted divorce, it was never God's plan. And I told you, be careful of the things that God had to permit. Be careful. Be careful. Because oftentimes, when he permits something, it's because you are stubborn. And you reap the consequences. But he's going to permit it. But that wasn't his plan. That's why we must always find out, what is the plan? What is the plan? What is the plan? Not, what can I do? Did you see that? Did you see that? We're going to see that shortly. So, he said, when offenses arise, look at this. Look at this. When offenses arise, I must have a plan. I must have a plan. Sometimes, amen. Sometimes, wait for some hours or days. Allow that emotion to do what? To come. So that you can handle it the proper way. Sometimes someone call you and say, I was in so and so place. Can you imagine what that guy was saying about you? He said, tell me. Kilosa. They say, he said this. He said that. He even said this. I was cautioning him. He was just talking. I thought he liked you. Due to your imagination. Say, Emina. He said, just pick your phone. Hello? Show the heck me by. No. That's not the next thing to do. Is that clear? You are a Christian. Say, I'm a Christian. See, I have God's wisdom in handling relationships. Be patient. Be patient. So, I told you that people usually do two things, right? Either of two things. And I told you that the first thing people usually do is to report to somebody. Someone does something against you, then you pick your phone and then you start telling somebody what the fellow had done. You are going to ruin that relationship. Jesus says, go to him. Many times that's not what we want to do. Ego. If you are not humble, you cannot build God's plan. And I told you, 90% of God's plan is through relationships. 90%. God shows us that we cannot function in his plan without other people. We cannot. So you don't say things like, I have God, I have the Holy Ghost. See, you and the Holy Ghost cannot do God's plan without other people. Jesus, being God, came in the flesh and he needed another person's womb. You now think you don't need human beings. He needed somebody's womb. You see that? When Herod got up and he said, 2-year-old down, clear them. Jesus needed somebody. Are we together? Not only did he need a human being, Jesus needed somebody who is intelligent. Joseph. Secondly, he didn't just need somebody who is intelligent. Jesus needed somebody who is spiritual, can see visions, and can understand it. So you say, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what I saw. 2 years later, I didn't understand it. Who are you? Are we together? The angel came and he told him, he says, take the child and the mother and go to Egypt. And Joseph didn't say, you know, 10 people are coming to order cements tomorrow morning. So how can't I go next week? You know, God didn't tell him why he should go. He said, go. Look at the woman, the mother. The mother didn't say, something me tell her. Your vision is between you and God. Tell God to tell me. No. Can you see that kind of family? Can you see that kind of family? And God walks through those kind of associations. It's why you should be careful who you get married to. And God walks through all that. So there's a whole lot to see in that, in those texts. So you don't tell as the first line of action. You go tell. I told you, when you tell, the people you tell will tell other people. Right? Right? The people you tell, we do what? We tell other people. And those other people will tell other people. And what you have done is that you have circulated offense. You've circulated offenses. Amen? But you know, the second thing you can do is that rather than tell it to a person, you can tell it to God. You can tell it to who? To the Lord. What happens when I tell others? Of people's odds towards me, of people's disappointments, maybe betrayals and lies, people letting me down. What happens when I tell others? Those you told will tell others, I say that, and those told will begin to think less of that person. And I told you also that there is no injury that you can do to anyone than to make them not to be able to bless others anymore. No injury. Amen. It's the worst thing you can do. Sometimes even in the church, when we are disciplined or when someone is under discipline, you don't have to know why someone is under discipline. If you needed to know, you will be told. You will be told. You will be told. Amen. I should also not make it difficult for others to bless others. Now, there is no greater way to stop somebody from being a blessing to another than to affect the minds of those he wants to go and bless. Jesus, getting into his hometown, could not bless people. Why? Because certain information has gone ahead of him. Some folks have gone ahead and have said rubbish about him. Very importantly, is that the messenger of Satan, which we read in 2 Corinthians 11, is actually information going ahead of Paul about Paul that made people ill concerned about him. They developed hatred for Paul, and he couldn't do much. He couldn't do much. So, do not be a messenger of Satan. Are we together? So, another option is that I can pray. I can pray for and about the person. Notice I didn't say I can pray about the situation. No, I said for the person. The person. The fellow who had done for the person. I can pray for the person. Are we together? So when are those relationships we itemize again? Neighborhood, right? Can you give them to me? Neighborhood, what? That is your neighbor, right? What else? Business relationships, business partners, okay? Career, family, thank you. Siblings, thank you. Academic careers, academic relationships, okay? What else? Contract, business relationships, okay? Sorry? Relationships generally. There's a way to handle it. Are we together? Marital relationships. Are we together? Parent to children relationship. I can tell someone, or I can talk to God about it. Now, what happens when I talk to God about it? God is going to give me his perspectives about it. He will give me his perspectives. Are we together? He will give me the route to take in handling the relationship. Are we together? So don't choose the route that will put people in a bad light with others. Don't. God is always found in relationships restoring them. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? I know this might sound funny or somehow, but many times we tend to justify things. I wanted to tell you all the story, but I won't tell you all the story this morning. But I'll just say what I'd like to communicate from that. And look at this. Sometimes, even when you observe, are you listening to me? You observe two people relating, and you, maybe based on experience, you have something against one of them. Well, you shouldn't have something against people. You understand? But I mean, you're also fine. Let me use the word you are concerned. You are concerned about the effect of that other person on this person that is probably your person. Trust the wisdom of God to go about it. I'm communicating a mindset to us through this teaching and this morning that at all times, be the one that heals and restores and strengthens relationships. If you are not sure, listen carefully. If you are not sure about your place in a particular association or group of people relating together, you be the one that make that relationship healthy, stronger. Not otherwise. Be the strength of a relationship. Be the strength. God is always found in relationships. Now, don't forget I said Satan also walks through relationships, right?
Yeah,
I said that. But don't be the reason why people, even if you have to handle relationships in such a way that two people can just not work together. They can't work, W-L-K. Maybe because of peculiarity of situation, you just like, these two people cannot work together. Don't handle it in such a way that they now see each other in a terrible bad light and they are now enemies. No. So it shows that you must trust God's wisdom and you must be intentional and deliberate about handling relationships. Don't be careless. God works through relationships. I probably said that 1,000 times now. He works through relationships. I pray about the person. When I talk to others, I said they will talk to others. And or we have a bad perspective. Are we together? But if I pray about it, look at this. Prayer will now open up a series of activities that will ensure that I have handled that relationship likely. Now, also, just action points. You're going to observe that you are likely to increase your wrath or the wrath in you when you talk to that person immediately. Are we together? James says something about the wrath of man. James said in James 1, he says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, righteousness of God means God's way of doing things. God's right way, God's way of making things right is righteousness. And James is saying that when you are angry, we can't see God's way of doing things in the activities that anger has before us. That's what James is saying. That the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. God's way of doing things. So, the way God wants me to handle this situation, you are going to ruin that way by acting in anger. Are we together? So look at this. Don't go and meet the person and say, "They said you said." Mm-mm. I have. They said you said. I did. Mm-mm. Be intentional about that relationship. Are we together? So in any offenses, I must answer questions. What is this relationship to me? What is it to me? What is this association? This association with this fellow, what is it to me? Is it your husband or your wife? Acknowledge it. This is my wife. Are we together? Is it a parent? Acknowledge it. This is actually my dad. Tell yourself, this is my dad. Because I told you, parents can what? Can disappoint you. Your parents can offend you. I told you, people got offended at Jesus too. John the Baptist got offended. He stood a while ago and said, "This is the Lamb of God." Later, he sent his disciples, "Go and ask him if he's the one." Imagine. He was offended. Imagine someone is offended at Jesus. Who is this fellow? This is my boss at work. This is my leader. Who is the fellow? What does the relationship mean to me? Is it clear? You now handle that situation in that light. This is a worker in church. This is a leader in myself. This is actually my leader in the church. This is a close friend. This is actually my boss at work. Acknowledge the relationship. Understand and remind yourself again what it means to you. From that standpoint, you are going to be intentional in how you handle it. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? So, if you go without caution, in impatience, you are likely going to increase the wrath and increase the level of offense. If you talk to others about it, are we together? You are going to spread the offense. And let me tell you something, people like gist, including the brethren in church. But you must hate gist. You must hate gist. Questions I must ask myself sometimes is this: why am I the audience of this information? Nobody should use your heart as a dumping ground. Because what they say about one another, what people say about one another, can affect your heart. If your heart is affected to one another, you cannot receive the things of God. If you are not receiving the things of God, there can't be the move of the Spirit. We can't have God's plan. In the church, not just in the church, outside the church. Why am I the audience of this information? Why is this being said to me? Maybe it's being said to you because you have an oversight function, or you have a proximity, a closeness to the fellow in question, so you can effect a healing, a change. Understand that. Are we together? But don't take such information as gist. You now can't receive again. Are we together? So when I pray, I will hear God. When I hear God, the first thing I will do is that I will have His peace about the situation. So notice the steps. I pray. Notice you are supposed to pray even before you walk up to the fellow. I pray. If I pray properly, I'll hear God. If I hear God, I will receive His peace about the situation. Now, what will God do? What will hearing God do? Then, when I pray, I will hear God. What is that? I will hear God. Are we together? What's that? I will hear God. That I will hear God. What it is? Look at it. It says, call unto me and I what? I will answer you and I will show you. So the answer of God to prayer is usually revelation. It's usually revelation. So when you pray, you will receive revelation. That means, look at this. Look at me, everyone. If you know that the answer of God to prayer is revelation, how long will you pray? You will pray till you have what? Thank you. Thank you. Pray till you have what? Insights from prayer on what to do. Is it clear? That's why I said, it's not just I'll pray about it. Prayer will unveil a series of activities. Because something has to be done. Something has to be done. So I pray till I have revelation. Amen? Then in that revelation, since it's directional, since that revelation is directional, revelation is usually directional, I'm going to have the peace of God about it. Now, what have I done? I have honored God. And I have trained the flesh. I have honored God. I have trained the flesh. I have honored God by valuing unity. Are we together? Over a temporary feeling, pressure of venting out. We want to vent out. I have honored God by valuing what? The bond of unity. I have valued God by honoring the move of the Spirit. over the temporary gratification of gossiping. And that fleshly feeling of needing sympathy from people. Sympathy from people. Are we together? Many times, behind causing dissensions by spreading news is a lack of identity of the person involved. I told you that when somebody don't have a strong sense of identity, they seek to have identity by the things they do. Even if it's the wrong thing, they will do it. Because you are seeking to have an identity. But God's word already gives you an identity. Whether you do that or you don't do that, you already have an identity. The Christian man already has an identity. He functions from it. The unsaved man doesn't have an identity. He is looking for it. So even if it comes to terrible things, he will do it. He's trying to get an identity. He's trying to gain satisfaction by his sense of identity he wants. That's not the Christian. The Christian is a man born of the world. Are we together? I'm born again. I'm born of God. I'm a child of God. That's my identity. I'm a Christian. I walk in love. I forgive. I give room to the move of the Spirit. Glory to God forevermore. So, telling people just gives me more sympathy, and that's all. You will think that those people can do something about it. Can't. It's just sympathy. It's just sympathy. But there's more that you need than sympathy. You need wisdom, you need direction, and you need God's plan in relationships. Are we together? And do you also know that God can use a relationship to train you for more relationships? He can use a particular relationship to train you for more relationships. And his plans are found in relationships. So you can be sure that aside from maybe associations that you currently, aside from associations that you, out of disobedience, aside from associations currently that you, out of being disobedient to God's word, has gone to gather around you. Aside from those associations, you can be sure that the associations around you now is being used of God to train you for more associations to come. Handle it well. Handle it well. Handle it well. See, I handle it well. See, I handle it well. See, I handle it well. So look at that. Relationships, God will walk through them. I said this, I'll say it again. Words, spoken words, words spoken in offense, they hurt relationships more than actions. Words spoken in offense hurt our relationships more than our what? Our actions. Because the one thing about words is that, look at this. You have gone. But words will be replaying. Right? Right? Your words will be what? Replay. Hurtful words. You don't just say, oh, I regret that I met you. How? Even when you have gotten your actions right, if you happen to do anything that is not so consistent, the person will remember what you said, even though you are not acting based on that. Words. Words. That is why, look at this. When actions go wrong, you must use words to correct. Now, what happens when you don't talk? Because words is what will heal. It's the reason why communication must be strong. Words. So, be careful. Ask yourself or decide. This is a very action line. Decide what you will never say. I will never say this to my wife. I will never. No matter what happens, I will never say this to my husband. In the home. My mom, my dad. Things will never get to a point where I say this. I will never do this. I will not go 2 days without striking the conversation. I won't go 24 hours without striking the conversation. Have the things you will not do. Decide the things you will not see. Determine who you will never talk to on a situation. Determine who you will not vent to. I will not vent to this person. That means you are going to decide who and who you can talk to. When wars come to wars, this and this person is whom I will talk to. Imagine something happens between you and your husband, and the next thing, you put an iPhone on a ring light, you own your data, and 7 continents. You are mad from within. That's madness. You now wonder why that relationship can never be healed again. You should see Lue now. You thought you were angry and that you were badly treated, but you discovered that you just needed public sympathy. See, all of those public that had you, they couldn't now fix the issue. It now got worse. And I told you something. I said, let me remind you what I said. I said, if you look at the way Jesus handled his relationship with John the Baptist, John the Baptist was angry, right? And disappointed. But then you look at the way Jesus handled it. I now showed you that did Jesus need the relationship between him and John the Baptist? Did he need it? He needed it. See, throughout the book of Acts, nobody could preach Jesus without mentioning what John said about him. Nobody. So go and read it. Wherever Jesus, including the house of a Gentile that didn't know John the Baptist, that would have been valid if you had to talk about Jesus in the midst of Jews. Because it is Jews that knew John the Baptist, and it's among the Jews that John the Baptist's commentary about Jesus will be magnified, because they believe John the Baptist was a major prophet. So if he said something about Jesus, the Jews are going to pay attention to that Jesus. But even in the house of a Gentile, they now needed John the Baptist's commentary about Jesus for Jesus' ministry to be accepted. Jesus, who is God in the flesh. Do you get it? Paul at Ephesus now needed what John had said about Jesus. Are we together? To get those 12 guys filled. So Jesus definitely handled the relationship well. Yes, I told you that he needed the good fruits of a healthy relationship between him and John. John was his cousin. John also needed the fruit of a healthy relationship between him and Jesus. But did you observe that you and I need the relationship today? So there are more people that need the relationship than the two people involved. So you will ruin God's plan, not only for you, but for as many as God has ordained that will need the relationship. Because you feel that if he doesn't do it, I will find somebody else. It's not about you finding somebody else. It's about what God wants to do about that relationship between the two of you if you rightly handle it. Is it clear? So I said there's something bigger than you in that relationship. It is God's plan. It is God's plan. Time will not permit me. I will show you more, replete in the entire Old Testament books. From Abraham. Abraham. And Lot. Abraham was somebody who handled the relationship well. The guy never really wanted to leave. And he used the faction between his men and Abraham's men to cause the trouble. Abraham said, well, look around. Ibolo tell him, go. And the guy left. Are we together? If Abraham had allowed offense, notice it was still Abraham that was on his knees when that guy would have perished in Sodom and Gomorrah. So God will now send angels to Sodom and Gomorrah because Abraham prayed. He now went there. Are we together? We must keep our relationships healthy. Don't ever say, I will find somebody. Don't say that. Trust God for wisdom to handle that relationship well. I have many experiences and examples, so maybe I'll share them with you way later on. Not now. Are we together? So look at this. Words. The things you see about relationships affect them more. What you will never say. Who you will never tell. And I'm not talking about suffering in silence. I say who you will never tell. I didn't say not never tell anybody. No, I didn't say that. Who you will not. Are we together? Who you will not? Notice what Jesus said to his disciples about John. Notice what John said to his own disciples about Jesus. Contrast. So the things we say about our relationships, they matter. Are we together, church? People you will not go to. So, something happens in your home. Your home! Do you know what home is? Home. See. Home. There are two institutions on the earth that God works with. In a way, it doesn't work with other institutions. Church and family. Church and family. So, you know what home means? Your home. Then you carry it. You throw it into the media. Then you see comments. So, how do you expect that relationship to be healed? So, don't cast your pills before what? Swine. Swines don't have value. Pigs, pig does not know that the jewelry is 2.5 million. How? Pigs. They don't know now. Whatever is not food, they don't value it. Don't cast your pills. Don't throw your relationships that God has used for you, that God is using for you. Don't throw it to dogs. Dogs, it doesn't imply that those people are crazy and mad and useless. It simply means, see, anyone qualifies as dogs because they don't have the value for that thing that you value. It's value system. It's not that they are terrible people in themselves. It's not that they are terrible people and they are evil people. No. The value system, they don't have it. They don't know what it costs you to build it. Don't cast your relationships before dogs. Treasure it. Is it clear, church? I could close here this morning, but give me some 15 minutes. Are we together? So concerning relationships, look at this. I must defend them. Defend relationships. And if they are godly or supernatural, protect them. Protect them. See, protect your relationship with your pastor. Discern it. Your cell pastor, discern it. There are certain people that God has given some responsibilities to them. You can't find it elsewhere. And that's the way God decides. It's God has decided. Treasure it. Treasure it. Treasure it. Parental relationships. Treasure. Don't say, oh. Like so some lady I met some years ago. I won't talk about all that now. I will find the time. We have a session and I will share experiences with you. That session. So look at that. You know, he said, oh, that my parents, my dad, had done this and done this and done this. They Israeli told me, he said, I will never forgive him. Yeah, I will never forgive him. He said this and this and this and this and this. And so I said, okay, what happened? What happened? I don't usually know Jesus. I said, what happened? And then mentioned that. The father was not there. The father was not this. The father was not there. And this and this and this. And then went through mentioning many of the sufferings that herself and I think one or two other siblings had gone through with the mother in years that the father was away. Now, she was a lawyer, and then she'd been doctored, and then she said this is the father was not this, and then she was talking that she was even moved to tears. Don't move to tears. If you're asking me to do a pastoral work, just know that I'll just cut emotion. Bam, just let's do fast. Imagine you're crying, maybe I'm crying. Both the counselee and the counselee. Let's talk about another. What do we do? Doesn't make any sense. Are we together? And then she said all sorts of things. But one thing I noticed is this. By then we spoke, I think we spoke about maybe an hour or two. By then we're done talking. What stood out most was this. Whatever had left a very indelible mark on her heart at that moment wasn't as much of what our experiences had been over the years. It was majorly the words that the mother spoke amidst the three or four of them as they were growing up in the absence of the father. The things the mother said about the father. And that was where the issue was. The thing said. See, don't say things in anger. You are a Christian. You are angry. Angry. Boom. It burns. And it ruins your relationships. Many times, what now prevents us from reopening those relationships or coming back and restoring it are the strength of the words we spoke. Your words can lock you outside. Your words can lock you outside. So we must pray. We must be full of the Spirit. We must trust God. We must also discipline ourselves to ensure that we walk in God's wisdom in matters pertaining to what? Associations. Are we together? See, I've seen people before that some years before, there is no sign that such a person could ever have anything useful to contribute to this other fellow. Years down the line, that same person was the only person that could resolve the issue. And what saved in those instances was because many years ago, there was nothing that relationship could benefit you, you handled the relationship well. You were kind. You were open. You were accessible. You were kind. When people misjudged you, you explained yourself. You didn't lash back. And I've also seen the opposite. A textbook example is the issue between Joseph and his brothers. The same guy was now the one that will save a lineage from going into extinction. Or else, God would have had to rework an entire lineage for the Messiah, which will cost him several hundreds of years I mean, it will cost God several hundreds of years. Sometimes, God is omnipotent and omniscient. But see, if you really are a student of Scripture, you will observe that God actually created time. And God honors time. It means time affects God's work. Time. God builds things with time. It costs God time to do certain things. Are we together? Such that if man carelessly handles a role he ought to have played at a particular time, a pivotal role, he can literally cost God a longer time. So why then is it God? He is God because his plan will come to pass, but it will take him time. Because he created time on the earth, earth functions with time. If he will do something under the earth, he will work with time. Can't you see that your spiritual growth and the fruits of your spiritual growth is taking God time? Time. It's taking me time now to communicate whatever I'm sharing with you. It's taking me like 1 hour. Time. God works with time. So don't malhandle the things he's doing with you because of a moment of temper and anger and selfishness and pursuit of sympathy. Walk in wisdom. See, I walk in wisdom. So look at this. When my relationships are supernatural, are so close, I must guard and protect them. Protect them. Protect them. And in keeping and protecting supernatural relationships, look at this. Watch what you hear about those people. I tell you, don't listen to clips and podcasts about pastors on Facebook. Don't. If you are the kind that anything that comes to your news feed, you hear it. Someone is criticizing a pastor of a church. He says, see. It is not that pastor that the devil is after. It is your pastor. Your own. And it is not your pastor the devil is after. It is you. But he knows that he is not going to get into your heart about your pastor if he doesn't get into your ideology about pastors. So he starts by talking about pastors. So if you are careless with information about pastors, churches, ministries, the things of God, like someone told me some time ago, now this fellow I'm talking about today, some years ago, this fellow used to heal the sick and cast out devils. In fact, I have reports of how many sicknesses, I mean, the kind of sicknesses that this person has gotten healed. He had worked miracles. This is someone that picked people from the wheelchair. Currently, as I'm talking, he doesn't believe the gifts of the Spirit are active. He doesn't. He doesn't believe God heals. How? Now, maybe because it's you or whatever your task are. But for someone like me, because of what I do, the role I play in the church and around the body of Christ, the kind of role I play, for someone like me, that statement moves me to tears. He does not agree that God can heal. This is somebody who has lifted people up with wheelchairs. And what happened? Carelessness. The things you hear, and you hear over and over, after a while, something happens. And then you are like, hope it's not that thing is true. You are in trouble. Hope it's not that thing is true. You now have an experience that suggests to you that hope is not that. So he moved away from God can heal, God can deliver, God can save, to does God always heal? Does God always heal? Does miracle always happen? So you move from does miracle always happen to can we even do this thing as will, or it's out of God's providence, into how am I sure God is happy at us and so can do what he wants? How? Then he spiraled and spiraled and spiraled into See, if you are not careful of the information you get into your heart, at the end of the day, after a while, you will do the things that you once criticized. You will do them. You will do them. Information. Let's bring it back to relationships. Be careful. Watch what you hear about those you love, including your parents. Are you listening to me? Watch what you watch. You listen to about those what you hold in esteem. Watch it. Watch it. Then watch what you say. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. You are believing God for the gifts of spirit to work through you. You are going to listen to what podcasts are saying that pastors are faking miracles. I asked somebody, I said, you reposted this thing, pastors are faking miracles, pastors are faking miracles. Your pastor, is he faking miracles? Look at what you are pushing. Pastors are faking miracles. After a while, discover that miracles will cease amongst you. Are we together? Because you are not careful. Because what you permit, you experience. You experience it. So you are careful of the information that flies around you about the people you hold in esteem. Is it clear? Is it clear? Notice what affected Eve. It was conversation with serpent. A simple conversation with serpent. And what was the conversation? He said, as God said, you should not. Are we together? So that shows you, this is how you know that Satan is the one originating this conversation. God's word is very clear. You should not what? Eat this. Are you listening to me? Then look at what the serpent said. Satan came and he said, had God said, did God say? Why do you start the conversation with, did God say? God said this. Why do you say, did God say? See, anytime Satan comes around you, how you will know that this information is of the enemy? Notice that in that conversation, did God say, the utterance of Satan, was God mentioned in it? Answer the question. Did he mention God? If we write down what Satan said, did he mention God? Answer, did he mention God? Did he mention the fruits? So, the contents of God's word to them, were there mentions of that same thing when Satan spoke? So, the fact that Bible was mentioned doesn't mean it's from God. The fact that the things God told you was mentioned in the conversation does not mean God is speaking to you. The position of that conversation will tell you. So, did God say? Look at this. Satan's words always come to challenge what God has said. So, if it is a challenge to the counsel of God, it is the enemy. Even if the things of the Spirit is mentioned, prophecy is mentioned, healing is mentioned, you must always find out where is this conversation going. I'll close there. Where is this conversation what going about your relationships, your friend in class, and someone comes and say, this and this and this. Where is this conversation going? He's my friend. I'm not saying a church member, a friend, your sister. Someone just comes and where is this conversation going? What's the intention behind this conversation? That's how we protect our relationships. Because all of us standing here are vulnerable. And our greatest vulnerability is to words. Because we all have hearts. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Listen carefully. Watch what you hear. Watch what you see. Watch what you hear. Watch what you hear about relationships which you esteem. Watch what you listen to about certain individuals around you. Watch it. And when you observe individuals who always brings unpleasant information to you about others, there are some people like that. Oh, they are the only person that everybody in the world has offended, but they have never offended anybody. They have never offended any human being in their life. Everybody is always offending them. Ah, that one. Ah, that one. Ah, you know that person. Ah, if I tell you what they did to me in 1990. Ah, that man. Ah, I know him. I know him. I met him before Jesus, John the Baptist, I baptized him. I know him. And they have all done something wrong to him. Be careful and be weary of such a person. Because look at this. He will add you to the list. He will add you to the list. So, as a rule, don't do gists. Don't do gists. Don't do gists. See. Don't do gists about Nigeria. It sounds far-fetched from what we are studying, but I'll mention this. Don't do gists about your country. You are believing God to live a healthy life. You are believing God to live a prosperous life. You are believing God for your needs to be met. You are believing God for your life to be preserved. You are listening to gists that is saying that the country is ruined. See, the country is not ruined though. Maybe the portion of the country under your feet is ruined. But as far as I'm concerned, God is blessing me in this land. Is it clear? Play for me. As far as I'm concerned, God is strengthening me in this soil. If it's on this soil that God born again, and if it's on this soil that God has called me to serve it, this nation is not perishing. Don't listen to the gist. Is it clear, church? Don't listen to wrong information. And concerning your relationships, don't listen to wrong information. Don't let the warmonger and the accuser, are we together? And the lying tongue have a place in your heart. There is no spare room in my heart. Are we together? For such conversations. Because I'm born of love. I always look out for ways to strengthen my relationships. I always look out for opportunities to restore relationships. But sometimes someone walks up to me and says, so and so did this and said this and said this and said this. I say, ah, really? Alright, what are you doing now? I'm less busy. You have to be less busy to come with that GCS. Yes. Alright, let's get into the car. Let's go meet the person. Hello, Sama. This is my lovely friend. Said, okay, why would I be the one? Can you say what you told me? So why were you telling me? And one thing about gossipers is that gossipers, they have one gift of the spirit that they use to know one another. If a gossiper finds himself in a community of people in a speed that is faster than the speed of light and sound combined together, they know how to find other gossipers. I think maybe there's a way they do their eyes to each other. They will just find one another. You gossiper like me. Wow. Pleased to meet you, sir. Mother gossiper. Father gossiper. I always say, I'm not a gossiper. The Bible talks about gossip. It says gossip works like venom. I'm going to show us in the book of Proverbs later on. It works like venom. Venom. Gossips. They work like venom. Did you know? Without a special intelligence, when venom gets into the body, it looks for the heart. The heart. That's what it's looking for. The heart. The same source that powers life, he wants to hijack it. That's how the enemy works. Not with my mouth. Not with my heart. And this is how we build relationships. Build your relationship with your siblings. Imagine John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. Imagine. It shows you so much that God can do with natural relationships. Sometimes you think it's natural relationships. No. God works with relationships generally. He works with relationships. He wants men and women everywhere living in harmony, building His plan. Right? Building His plan. Building His purpose. And I trust God that as the year runs out, glory to God, you and I are going to have that wisdom to start the new year with solid and strong and healthy and thriving relationships. Marriages will be stronger. Families will be stronger. Are we together? Some of you need your families to be stronger, right? Right? You need siblings to be crazy about one another. Isn't it? You need fathers and mothers to be crazy about one another again, right? Right? Some of you need business associations. Some of you had associations in business, something happened. But now in business, you're like, I need that person. And those relationships are being restored. Because hear me clearly, when God's word comes to us, it's many times in the line of what God is doing. You know, we started out this morning talking about healing, right? And God also heals relationships. So He heals relationships, look at this, by restoring opportunities. Opportunities. What are opportunities? Opportunities are times and activities that presents some resources before you that needs you to respond to the resources in a way that will help you to move further in God's plan. Sometimes based on no knowledge or low knowledge. Sometimes based on carelessness, naivety, ignorance. We have not handled those opportunities well. This November, this December, there is a waking up supernaturally of opportunities. Friendships, relationships, associations, business associations are being restored. Doors of associations have been shut down and God needs it open. They have been open. As the year runs out, we're closing the year on the strength of relationships. And we are building the new year on the strength of relationships. And we have wisdom. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to give thanks again for the relationships and the associations in your life. Businesses, career, academics, siblings, family, parental, marital, neighborhood, employee, employer, associations, organizations, political or non-profit organization, associations and privileges, the things that God has plucked around you, and you're looking at those relationships and you say, oh, I can do more in God's plan when this association is working and working excellently. Some in our families, some other families, give God praise for them this morning.